Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Since January, we have been on the topic of spirituality because I had many questions from listeners about spirituality connected with Reiki. And for a lot of us old-timers, we came to Reiki because Hawaii Ochikata said this is a very good thing to do. It's like having first aid in your hands and you don't have to carry anything. And so for us, the Reiki practice was something that we came into, for the most of us, into it through what I would call the healing practice. And as we grew in our experiences and our understanding of, well, Reiki the energy and also Reiki the practice, it became very obvious that there were other aspects to this practice. Personally, I was very involved in what I call personal development, which is a part of me that really needed to be healed. I've been blessed with a very healthy physical body, but my emotional self and the way that I viewed the world was very skewed according to my own understanding of who I was in the universe. So this became my focus in the first years and still is my theme for my Reiki practice. And then I realized eventually that I was seeking to have a spiritual practice. I couldn't relate really to my church. And so I decided to find a guru or something, and I thought the Dalai Lama or maybe Sufism or something would attract me. And what happened is a friend of mine said to me, you know, Phyllis, you have your spiritual practice, you just don't know it, and it's Reiki. So it's taken me many years to come to the place where I realized that for myself, this is what I would call my spiritual practice. This is not so for everyone, but it is true for me. So in light of this, there have been many discussions over the last years as students grow and develop, and now, in the light of today, many people, students come to Reiki not because it's a healing practice, but because it's something that calls to them from their spirit. And in the last few interviews, we've been talking about this kind of theme of we are spirits in a human body, and that spirit part of ourselves wants and needs to be connected. And perhaps we could say connected to Reiki. This afternoon, I have the great pleasure of having Junko Lowry with us today. She's from Honolulu, Hawaii, and was initiated there. And Junko, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this show because you never know what Reiki is going to reveal to us.
Exactly.
As we talk.
Exactly. So, you know, one of the first things that happened to me is that, you know, I've had, like, themes within themes. So last month I had several people who had a very strong Catholic background. This month, it's been people who have had Eastern, quote-unquote, religion or spiritual practice backgrounds. So I got a hold of Junko because I thought maybe she might be a Buddhist, but it turns out she's not Buddhist. She is Japanese, and she was born in a Zen temple. So this is truly intriguing because though I'm Japanese, I'm very American in my viewpoint, and I just am curious about how you got born in a Zen temple. Is that too personal to ask?
Well, all of us are born where we're supposed to be born.
Absolutely.
I was born in Zen temple. I'm the only one in my family who was born in the Zen temple. I believe it's because of my past life experiences. And so I was born into this world with ready-made connection to the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
I had been born with inner voice, which has always guided me since childhood. And so I have been experiencing perfection in that way, not in that sort of perfection in the way that many of us think of in this world, but feeling that I was born out of perfection.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And so though you're not Buddhist, you were born and raised in Japan?
I was born and raised in Japan. My father was a Buddhist. My mother was a Christian. When I went to a Catholic school, I was so impressed with the nuns there who taught us with so much love and devotion that I became a Catholic. And that experience shifted to finding eventually a path for me that I was meant to follow, which is Siddha Yoga.
Uh-huh. And for listeners who don't know what Siddha Yoga is, can you just describe it in a few sentences?
To describe Siddha Yoga in two sentences is like trying to live very quickly.
Right. But I did say few. Just to defend myself.
I will tell you how I came by it.
Oh, that would be great.
Yes. So, my spiritual master, Gumai Chitvilasananda, was coming to Honolulu. And the ashram, Siddha Yoga Ashram in Honolulu, contacted the school that I was working and said, we want to offer meditation class. And the school asked me to organize it. And so I did. And in the workshop, you know, they asked me beautiful questions like, have you always been a seeker? And have you been trying to look for a meditation path? And my answers to all of those questions were, no, I wasn't really.
Mm-hmm.
And after the session, they said, well, Guma is coming to town, and if you're interested, please join us. And I said, oh, very politely, thank you very much. And I drove home. And as I was driving home, I stopped at a signal light, and my heart boomed out saying, if you do not go see this master, there is no reason for you to be alive.
Wow.
So because I have always listened to my inner voice, I have gone, and I have been walking this path for since 85.
Mm-hmm.
So this
wow.
path, whatever it is mm-hmm. the most sublime path for me.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And then how did you come into Reiki?
Reiki is something that I didn't know I was looking, but obviously I was. The physical manifestation was that because I was born a healer, I have been healing people in ways that I knew how. And around 10, 12 years ago, this practice became more and more unsatisfactory in a sense that I used to get sick taking on people's concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I used
mm-hmm.
to get sick and I thought, now, this is no way to be a healer. There has to be another way. So I began looking. But because I was already walking a spiritual path, I was very picky about what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for a path, really. I was looking for a path that had lineage.
Uh-huh.
Lineage that kept the purity of teaching from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I was also looking for a teacher who did not deviate from that, who walked that path in a very pure way, and who was aligned on the inside and outside.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I found this teacher, who you already know is Jean Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
And through her, I received initiation. And one of the things that really attracted me about Reiki is that it was transmitted through initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the way that I received my entry into Siddha Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that it is a spiritual path, it is a divine connection that opens with initiation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was truly blessed to be introduced to Reiki through the hands and the words of Jean Ferris.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So, well, we'll be left with this beautiful story. Take inside and remember our own beginnings, right? Our own beginnings of spirit. And then we'll be back after this commercial break. So let's start with Reiki, balancing for me.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune in to Inner Speaks Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speaks Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. You need your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today we have with us Junko Lowry, who's from Honolulu, Hawaii, and she has been on her spiritual journey ever since her birth, as we all have, but hers perhaps a little bit more consciously. So I'd like to go back, Junko, and just ask you a little bit of a question about following your inner voice. Like, I hear this phrase quite often in kind of our modern, if I can say it, new age world. And I'm just wondering what that means for you.
Perhaps I can answer by telling a story.
Great. That would be wonderful.
One day I was coming out of a very long meditation, and I was moved to have my past life read.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself am not the kind of person who is that interested in my past life.
Uh-huh.
So it was very, very surprising that I even had this inclination.
Uh-huh.
And one thing led to another. And I easily found someone who could read my past lives.
Uh-huh.
But this particular person had a gift of reading my past lives in ways that pinpoints how it prevents me from moving forward in my spiritual life.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was more like not the beautiful things, but the past that's, putting barriers in my
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, I learned that I was living in a temple-like place, and I
uh-huh.
was a healer and a mystic, and I used to help many, many people.
Uh-huh.
In the country, people used to come to have their wounds healed,
mm-hmm.
but mostly the heart wounds.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the most interesting thing was how I died in that state. Someone, the neighboring country, invaded the country
uh-huh.
I was living in, and it killed many people, and it poisoned the wells, and so on. And eventually, I also died healing people as they came to me. And that story in itself is not the significant part. The
mm-hmm.
part that's really significant, number one, is that I died having a lot of questions, but never doubting God.
Uh-huh.
Those are the two critical things. And then this woman said, no, hold on a minute, there's another part of your life that's also opening up. Let me go to that place. And she told me that I was a ruler in that country.
Uh-huh.
I was, I had very strong religious sentiments.
Uh-huh.
I felt that everyone ought to believe the way I should, or I do.
Uh-huh.
So, in the name of God, I invaded another country, poisoned the well, killed many people.
Mm-hmm.
And this story immediately told me the nature of karma, what I'm experiencing in this life, all of the so-called, human tendencies that I have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And through this revelation, I was able to then let go, or at least dissolve them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still living in the midst of it, but
mm-hmm.
knowing this really helps me to understand why I react to the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the most helpful.
Mm-hmm. So when you, thank you for your story. I really appreciate it. And it's a wonderful, what can I say? Sometimes when I hear the phrase inner voice, I feel that, you know, what I'm led to believe is that this is something that's imperative that I do, and it's also something that feels like I just do without thinking, you know, or it's something that I should do, and that what I'm gathering, I don't know if this is correct, you can let me know. What I'm gathering from your story is that inner voice has to do with more, for you, has to do with more understanding all the different facets, or as many as possible, that this voice has or comes from, and that out of that you can choose to be in your life with more consciousness and have a knowing that is more than just kind of blind faith, as we would say, but more a knowing of where you come from and what things might be valuable for you.
The inner voice that I have always heard, and I still do, is infallible. So whenever I ask a question, for example, as a child, I asked this question, shall I become a nun or should I get married? And the voice said, get married. So I did. So it's very, very crystal clear. And it's I always ask a question, and then the answer is given in a very precise, simple way. So
great.
This voice really has to do with my practice of healing that was sort of like a divination where you directly hear, for lack of a better word, the voice of God.
And when you hear this, when you hear the voice of, when you talk about your practice of healing, this is the practice that you had before you got Reiki, before you were initiated in Reiki. Is that true?
All of these things happened before I received Reiki. Why Reiki is so important in my life is that now, all of your questions are extremely difficult for me to answer, and it must be because they're very important that I think about it.
Yeah, take your time.
In the Indian tradition, for example, there are many, many deities. However, it's really erroneous to think that these are separate gods. These are different aspects of a single unifying God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I consider Reiki to be one such deity that showers nectars of healing energy. And the reason why it's so important for me is because it is open all the time, and it is available all the time. And I can depend on it every single day to support me.
Beautiful. So when you... So I want to go to a more general place of you and your experience, and also just your understanding of when I say the phrase spiritual practice, what does that bring up in you?
Spiritual practices are many. The goal is always, for me, the dissolution of ego and becoming one with the divine. And why Reiki is also a spiritual practice is because in practicing Reiki, we also hit all of these areas of resistance. I'm too tired. Or, you know, my muscle hurts. You know, I just want to do it a little bit instead of the full hour and a half. Or all of these little distractions that I faced in practicing Reiki simply indicate to me that the box that I live in, the box of awareness, I am coming to the end of, or hitting the wall, so to speak. And as I practice it consciously, then the box that I live in gets dissolved, and I start living in a larger awareness. So in this way, the path of Reiki is very much mirrors my spiritual practices.
Beautiful. And do you find any issue? My question was, do you find any issue in having, or do you feel like you have more than one spiritual practice, or is it your spiritual practice?
Thank you for that question.
Well, I think we're going to have to come back to this question after our commercial break.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ladies, what are you willing to do to live the life of your dreams? Are you willing to start today? If your answer is yes, even if you are just mildly curious, you've got to tune in to Wise Divas with life coach and host Teresa Proctor each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Women's Radio Network. Start living your wildest dream today. Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Juko was just sharing with us Juko was sharing with us her response to my question,
what's a spiritual practice, or what does this bring up in you? And it was very beautiful, and I just would love to ask you a question, because you say that for you, Reiki is a spiritual practice, and also, of course, Siddha Yoga is, and being a Catholic is. So I'm just wondering, do you feel like you have to juggle things, or do these, at least these three practices, and maybe there are more in your life, come together and you make up your own kind of mix inside of you? I'm just wondering about this part. Because, you know, there are some people who it seems like if they have, I see this outside of Reiki too, you know, like they have, you know, one practice, like they might go to church and then they end up, you know, in Siddha Yoga, and then they're trying to put the two of them together and they can't do it, and it becomes, you know, a great conflict inside of them. But obviously there's not a conflict in you, or I don't sense it anyway.
There is no conflict. Siddha Yoga encompasses everything. And in that way, I feel that having been acquainted with Reiki, I feel that I now see an even greater aspect of the divine.
So for you, they might be called complementary?
Complementary. You can say that, or...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it'll have to be that way, I believe, because Reiki does have its own understandings, and none of them are in conflict with anything that I know about, about God.
Great. Well, you know, I am... let's see. How can I say this? So when we speak about God in the sense of thinking about Reiki or a religion or Siddha Yoga or any of the other things, you know, there's this wonderful philosophy that all paths lead to the same place. And I used to have this idea that that path was somewhere like, I'm now looking out my window and seeing the top of a mountain. So it's like the point of where these paths come together is like at the top of the mountain. But now, after these years of practicing Reiki, I see that that point is really inside of me. And I feel like, I don't know when that switch happened, that it was at first outside of myself, and now it's come inside. And so this has really made a difference, though, in this piece of conflict. Like, I don't, when I feel the different aspects of things that I do, whether it's going to my local Sufi group and whirling with them in the zikr, or it's singing in church, or it's doing Reiki treatment, whatever those things are that bring me to this connected place inside of myself, I realize that there's no voices trying to struggle and be the right one. And that's been really a change for me. And I'm seeing that my concept of God is really shifting. And I'm just wondering if you can relate to what I'm saying. At all?
I do, absolutely. The inner world is what is possible. Let's see now, that didn't start off right.
That's okay.
The inner world is greater than the cosmos that we can see. It's like we can learn to live inside out.
Uh-huh.
And when this happens, then because the subtle things are so much more powerful than the gross things, you know, the ones with denser energy. That is how, you know, we can relate to everything. That when we have a greater, subtler understanding about this world and all the manifestations.
Pardon me? Are you there?
Yeah. Was that my phone or your phone?
I don't know what's happening. So, anyway, you want to start that sentence again?
So that inner world is really the source of the outer world.
Mm.
So inner perspective is the source of our understanding of the outer world.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, in that way, I totally relate to what you're saying.
So when we, I've been talking about this a lot with people around me and also a little bit on people on the show, that I have this, I grew up in the middle of the United States in Iowa and went to a congregational church, and I don't know where I got this. It was something that was definitely brought to me somehow, and I totally got it, was that God was this old man with a long white beard sitting on a cloud. You know, that's sort of, when I sang hymns in church, that's to whom I sang. And, you know, I realize I have really a difficult time letting this image go. So I've been in the last few years, especially in my Reiki practice, because this is what I know, seeing that this man sitting on a cloud is a part of me, or I am a part of him. And I realize that that's part of this connection that feels so important as I practice Reiki. Mm. And I'm wondering how, if you can articulate at all this energetic or entity that we're speaking about when we say the word God.
For me, the closest word that comes is a state of being.
Uh-huh.
That is filled with joy and consciousness and scintillating and beautiful and uplifting. And so this state, when I'm in this state, then how I speak, who I meet, everything gets transformed and become uplifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I like the point about this being not a thing or a person, as I see it, but a state of being, which I feel speaks more to our soul entity, rather than the physical world. So that's how I would see it anyway in my sort of analytical mind. And one of the things that you had said earlier in our conversation before the show was part of the spiritual practice is about that you're not doing Reiki or you're not healing. And do you want to say a little bit about that?
One of the first things that I believe all of us have to learn when we practice Reiki is surrender. That when we feel, that it's the Reiki who's prompting us to feel or to have certain understandings or to place hands here rather than there. The healing that happens is completely beyond my reach. It is done through the divine connection. So it is certainly not me who is effecting that change.
Uh-huh.
Nothing I do is, all I ever do is be present and to be open and to be a vehicle. So in that way, this surrender, this non-doership is the first thing that transcends Reiki and touches every aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That everything happens through God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That even our understanding, the evolution of our understanding, happens because mm-hmm. we bring ourselves and open ourselves to grace.
Non-doership. I haven't heard that phrase, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, because you've been practicing it all.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that, again, is about a state of being. It's like on the physical level, I always tell my students, you know, you're in partnership with Reiki, and there's a full partnership. In other words, you know, it's wonderful to be able to be conscious that there's Reiki energy and that we all are alive and this is a part of who we are. But the conscious act, or if I may use the word doing, of this practice is about putting your hands on either yourself or other people. And in that, that's all we need to do. And I think this, for me, is the true, it's like the true spiritual place of confusion, in the sense that, are we really doing something when we lay our hands on? And is that all we need to do is be? And so this is an interesting philosophic question that we'll come back to after this station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network. Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network. The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Junko Lowry from Honolulu, Hawaii. And we've been having a wonderful just sharing about God and spirit and the way things work. And I'm just, Junko had mentioned this phrase, non-doership, and that's true for me in the sense that when we enter into the practice of Reiki, whatever form that is, it's accompanied by this understanding that in order to pass Reiki, the energy, and use it sort of what I would call consciously, for myself or for someone else, I do the action of putting my hands on and the body. And that doing or that conscious act for me is all I need to do. And it's a little bit, it goes against my sort of upbringing, which is kind of micromanagement style, which is do everything you can do and then some. You know, like one of the things that I have gotten really skilled at has been multitasking, which is seems to be the other end of the spectrum from Reiki. And so it's been an interesting balance for me in my life, and I really love this place where I can lay in bed and go, well, all I have to do is put my hands on. But wouldn't you say, Junko, that that's a partnership of some sort with the energy of Reiki?
Yes, I sort of see it as two sides of a same coin, that one doesn't happen without the other.
Both are
absolutely necessary.
It's
such a trusting relationship, you know, because in doing so, in laying the hand, we experience all kinds of things. I mean, one of the first things that come up is, you know, am I worthy? You know, this unworthiness would come up, or this trust issue, or all of these things that every human being must go through to get the clarity. And Reiki helps us to become really clear who we are as human beings. We are worthy. We are worthy to be in complete partnership with Reiki.
Well, you know, one of the things that I so loved about my grandmother's teaching style, which is was a challenge for me for the most part, is that, you know, when she would teach students, she would just say, put your hands on, Reiki off. And it was said in such a matter-of-fact way that you never doubted that this was so. And sometimes people would have kind of delayed reactions, like, can I really do this? This is something that I can just put my hands on and it works, and why don't I have to give thanks and so on. And it was really interesting to hear her respond to those questions and for her to say things like, well, it's natural. I mean, this is what God gave us, this gift. This is what we are supposed to do with it and with our hands. And there doesn't need to be special preparation because you're already prepared. After all, you're alive. And there doesn't need to be any thank you, but you need to be able to live your life in Reiki. And I've realized that this piece about gratitude being action in some way rather than saying thank you has been a very interesting teaching for me personally. For me, it just seems very Japanese. I don't know if that's actually true or if it's just simply a spiritual truth. So I'm interested to know if you have any opinion or if you can relate at all to what I'm saying.
This automaticness speaks so deeply and profoundly about our gratitude. I am in constant awe and in gratitude to Reiki because it is so automatic.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing that we need to do. There's not even a delay of seconds. It is like, I mean, that is how God's love to me is.
Uh-huh.
Unconditional love.
Uh-huh.
Always there. You don't even have to ask. It's there.
Uh-huh.
All you have to do is to be open and,
mm-hmm.
and fully present.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is the most beautiful expression of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel, or what is the expression of gratitude for you, the way that you live your life, or just another state of being to always be in gratitude?
Yeah, this is really interesting, isn't it? Because on the one hand, it feels like gratitude is like giving gifts.
That's the way I was raised, right?
And so on. and yet, when I'm offering my prayer,
uh-huh.
I simply bring myself to the presence of the divine, and I wait for the inner words to form. I'm not
mm-hmm.
the one who's forming the words. It is the divine who's forming them. And
uh-huh.
this relationship, you know,
uh-huh.
of not non-doership is
uh-huh.
is a profound way of being.
And not always easy.
It is something that one has to sort of enter into.
Mm-hmm.
It's like entering a fog, sort of. You simply enter, and you're there. You're enveloped. That kind mm-hmm. of a feeling.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to use my mental powers to form prayers or words of gratitude. It is just being totally one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the great, perhaps a Zen koan, about this practice is that it's so simple. How could it actually work? It's so simple. How could it actually touch our very complicated, seemingly problems? It's so simple. Isn't there something else we should be doing? And I really love these questions.
And that
levels.
Is a perfect, perfect way to conclude.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much, Junko.
Oh, it was so lovely. Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you very much. And this is Phyllis Kuramoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back next week.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.